This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
That's it, baby, when you got it, flaunt it, flaunt it!
Sunday night, you are listening to New York City's number one talker, the Taxi Dave Radio Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. And I'm Taxi Dave. We're broadcasting from the Hudson Water Club in Haverstraw, New York, along the Hudson. It's 86 degrees, folks, at 8 p.m. in New York City. Well, Haverstraw is just a few miles north of New York City. Today was a day to take the cars out, go to the pools, go to the drive to the oceans, and watch out in the pools if somebody walks by you and you feel some warmth, get out of the pool and take a shower. That's what happened. What could I tell you? We'll have a special guest in a few minutes, Senator Gustavo Rivera, and we'll be talking about, you know, after the senator, stories will be about the Port Authority and Bridge New York and anti-discrimination training and the MTA combating terrorism and cameras and recalls and naturalized New York and the Delta and LaGuardia. We're going to tell you something that you're going to hear about next week. You know, meanwhile, this week we predicted that David Sampson, I mean, you heard it here last week, folks, and it happened. David Sampson, the former chairman of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and a friend or a close relation with Governor Christie of New Jersey, pleaded guilty to using his influence at the authority to pressure United Airlines to restart a discontinued flight to an airport which was close to his South Carolina vacation home. I mean, some people referred to it as, you know, as David Sampson's route. Sampson admitted knowing and corrupting, soliciting and accepting a thing of value in exchange for exerting his influence. And he conspired to hold up the airline hangar project, which was important to United Airlines, until United Airlines agreed to reinstate the discontinued flight from Newark to Columbia, South Carolina. He took 27 flights. Okay, on that route. So, pleaded guilty. He's not going to give anybody up in Watergate. And this is what he gets. Actually, what he probably could get is jail time or major fines. How are we doing with our guest, Noah? Just let me know. Okay. We're calling him. Yeah, I sent you one. Okay. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. That's taxihale@aol.com. And let me start with this. We told you about the Port Authority, but while we're talking about the Port Authority, there's something else that's going on with them. The New York City, well, you know what? There's so much stuff going on here. New York City, you know, we had another horrific incident in Baton Rouge today. Three police officers were killed. This is horrific, what's happening. When I was growing up in the 70s and I was in college, a lot of my friends said, you know, I want the safety of a union. And some of them became firemen. Some of them became sanitation workers, and none of them became police officers. Because back in that day, in the 1970s, you know, the way we looked at it is you were a target. Police were getting shot. And it was a dangerous job. And I don't know how history has come back to a point where people are killing police officers. You know, it's just a terrible thing for our nation. It's a terrible thing for all communities, for any community. And, you know, once again, you know, people pick on taxi drivers. And there's a few bad apples in our industry. There's a few bad apples in every industry. There's a few bad apples in every agency. And you can't judge entire agencies by just a few bad apples. And certainly killing people is not a way to make change. It's just not a way to make change. We have a caller, and our caller is Clem. You're first on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yeah, good evening. My son-in-law is a yellow cab driver. He owns his own. He talks to these drivers that were suckered in by a contract to work for Uber. Business was so bad that they came back to drive the yellow cabs. He pointed out there's probably no company in American history that advertises for employees more than Uber. That sends a message that they can't keep drivers. As you know, good news for the medallion cab drivers, the city passed a rule saying any Uber driver or black car driver who picks up a fare, who answers a hail, is subject to a $2,000 fine the first time. I called up the taxi commission, and I was told, yes, they're going to have plain clothes men and women who work for the TLC hailing Uber cars and black cars. The first time is a $2,000 fine, and the second time, you know it probably better than I do, correct? Could you repeat this on every show? That would be a tremendous benefit for those medallion cab drivers to know that something good is happening.
The law was changed recently. The mayor signed off on it last month. If a vehicle other than a yellow taxi cab in Midtown Manhattan is found to be picking up an illegal street hail, the first penalty will be a $2,000 fine. The second penalty, if he's caught again or she's caught again, will be a I think it's a $4,000 fine. And the third penalty, within 10 years, if you're caught picking up an illegal street hail within 10 years, that fine will be $10,000 and revocation of your driver's license. So there are some things being done to protect the yellow taxi driver from illegal competition. And Clem, I'm really glad you brought it up to my attention. And if you want it repeated on every show, give me a shot. Give me a shout out and we'll gladly do it. Our email is taxihail@aol.com. Here's an email from Roberto. Please remind all drivers that high beams are not to be used while driving in the city. Sometimes high beams are used to hide one headlight that is out. The high beams hurt other drivers' eyes and can cause an accident. There's no need for them in New York City. Okay, so there's our first email. That's taxihail@aol.com if you want to reach us with any comments you have. Senator Gustavo Rivera was elected to the Senate in November of 2010. And his district, he's a Bronx boy, like I am. I'm a Bronx boy, you know, Northwest Bronx, and it includes Kingsbridge Heights, Tremont, Crotona Park, where my dad was born, Fordham, where my grandmother lived, Belmont, Van Ness, Claremont, Highbridge in the Bronx, where that's the first taxi fleet I ever worked for was in Highbridge, and Morris Park. He's a big supporter of veterans. Senator Gustavo is dedicated to changing the way business is done in the legislature. The first bill Senator Rivera introduced address the need for greater government transparency and financial disclosure, making it mandatory for public officials to disclose all sources of income they receive apart from their government salary. And that was included in Governor Cuomo's ethics package that passed the legislature and was signed into law. Right now, it's a pleasure to introduce Senator Gustavo Rivera to the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Dave. And it's been a long time since I was supposed to be on, and I'm very glad that we're finally getting to do it.
Well, so am I, Senator. So am I. You are on a number of committees. You are on the Higher Education Committee. You're on the Finance Committee, the Ethics Committee, Health Committee, State Native American Relations, Libraries, Crime Victims, Crime, Correction, Mental Health, Labor. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But most recently, there was a bill up in Albany, the TNC bill, we call it. It was a bill from Senator Seward. And would you mind sharing with our audience how you voted on that bill? And I only am asking you because the Senate passed that bill.
Senator Seward is the chair of the Insurance Committee in the Senate, so it was an insurance bill. I voted nay on that bill. There's a couple of reasons why. Ultimately, what the bill would do is to clarify insurance provisions. It was an insurance bill, so it would clarify insurance provisions and requirements as it relates to so-called TNCs or transportation network companies. I voted no on it for a couple of different reasons. I mean, part of it would create three tiers of insurance coverage. Depending on whether the driver was driving with the app on, with the app off, or whether they were getting a fare, or whether they were not getting a fare. So it created these whole different categories. Ultimately, the issue that I have, and with most of the sharing economy, I'm very glad whenever we're talking about making it easier for customers to get something. I have no issue with that. But I do have an issue when we change the rules of the game in a way that impacts, whether it's working men and women, or in the case of Uber or Lyft, or whether it's people trying to seek housing that's affordable, in the case of Airbnb. So it's about, if we're going to, I think that there should be an equal playing field. If we're going to have folks that are picking up people with the Uber app certainly in the city of New York, which is different than in many parts of the country where ride sharing is what the app was created for. So if you're driving from one place to another, and you just go, hey, Bob, dude, I'm driving down to the city, you're going there too. Give me $20 and I'll just give me gas and I'll drive you. As opposed to that, it's kind of creating a whole different category of taxi drivers, and it's kind of obviously making it harder for hardworking men and women out there who are busting their hump every day,
especially the ones who invested their life savings in a license or a medallion.
Correct. So that's the issue that I have with it. It doesn't. There's a very interesting question about the issue of whether these folks are employees or not, right? People that are driving the cab, are they employees? Are they not employees? And whether they should be protected they should have basic employee benefits. So there's a lot of questions that are still up in the air. I just did not think that in this particular instance, this was a bill that addressed them well, and so ultimately I voted against it.
And one other thing. There was a demonstration at City Hall in New York City. We covered it, and the essence was the disabled community was very upset that the app-based companies do not have, and specifically Uber, they don't have one wheelchair accessible vehicle, while yellow cabs and green vehicles, SHLs, required to become 50% accessible by 2020, and virtually every replaced vehicle is becoming a wheelchair accessible taxi or green car. So you talk about helping everybody, and people seem to forget the disabled community. And here you had every segment of the yellow and green taxi industry united with the disabled community.
Yeah, ultimately, we have to create an even playing field. I mean, the just because you're trying to make something a little bit easier for people to get a hold of, it doesn't mean that you should just push it aside. Certainly in this case, men and women that have been, again, working their buns off for many years to be able to make a living in this, it's making it harder for them to make a living. And as you said, in this case, it is completely excluding a particular part of the community, which has, you know, finds it difficult enough to be able to take itself from one place of the city to another. So, I mean, for all those different reasons, it is a bill that I voted against.
Let me switch gears to something that, a bill that you presented, you introduced, that passed the Senate. And it sounds so simple, but it's so important. You know, I have a relative who's a vet, and if you don't know where to turn when you come back, you feel like you were lost in a maze, and you know, there's distress, and you know, PTSD, and there's depression that sets in, not all the time, but sometimes, and sometimes you come back, your whole life has been, you know, upended, and you have to readjust, and sometimes the things you saw over there aren't very, it's hard to participate and function in society when you come back. So why don't you tell our listeners what you suggested and what passed in the Senate to help vets?
It's a very simple bill that I've had for the last couple of years. It's called Vets Connect. And this bill is important for two different reasons. One of them, because I think, is, as you said, is a very common sense thing. All that it would do is to, when you are renewing your license, so you're renewing your driver's license, which is something that, you know, certainly many New Yorkers do, it would, the DMV form that you use to renew your license would have an extra little box so that you could check whether you're a veteran or not. It's an easy way to be able to identify, to self-identify as a veteran, and that information would be used to connect you to the services that you might be eligible, or you are eligible for, but you might not know. So that's the first reason why it's important. The second reason is because it is one of those things that when you want to scratch your head and say, Albany really works that way? Unfortunately, it does. In this case, as you mentioned, it passed the Senate, and it has passed the Senate for the last couple of years. And granted, I am a member of the minority for the moment, so it is hard for us to get bills on the agenda and bills passed. This has passed basically unanimously the last couple of years. It has not passed in the Assembly. And it is not passed in the Assembly because there is it has been stuck in the Transportation Committee for the last couple of years, and so it makes you scratch your head and say that whether is that really how Albany works? Unfortunately, sometimes it is, and it does say to people that are interested in public policy and in changing things for the better, pay attention to what goes on in Albany, because you have to ask, where is my legislator? Where is my assembly member and my senator on issues that I care about? And if they're not, you know, why are they not, you know, voting for something that is basic and commonsensical like this? Or in the case of this bill, why are they holding it up in the Transportation Committee and the Assembly?
So it is
for those two reasons it is important.
You are a Democrat, I take it?
Oh, yes. I am certainly a Democrat, okay. Sir. And I am currently a member of the Minority Conference in the Senate. We are hoping that changes after November, but we're going to have to do some work to make sure that we get there.
So you are in the minority in the Senate, yet the entire Senate passed your bill.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
The simple bill to help vets when they renew their driver's licenses or apply for a driver's license, to give them information on where to get help. It's a no-brainer. Why in the world would the Assembly, which is a Democratic majority, why in the world would the Assembly not take on the same bill? You know, I don't understand it.
I wish I could be in the studio for a couple of things. First of all, because I'd like to be there in the studio with you, but second, because I'd like to look at your face right now, because you must be perplexed. The face that you're making right now is the same face that I've made for the last couple of years. It has to do, according to what we've been told, my staff has really fought with the staff in the Assembly, has to do with some technical issues about information sharing between agencies, because the Department of Transportation and Veterans Affairs don't really talk to each other, or would have to be set up so that they do talk to each other to share information. It is beyond me, and it is, again, one of the reasons why trying, you know, paying attention to what happens in Albany is important, because you get to ask yourself, you know, where does my legislator stand on an issue that I care about? And if they're not taking the stand that I think they should take, then I can either bring it to their attention or potentially vote against them. You know, it's important to have people be informed.
You know what reminds me of? When vets come home, the families are their strongest backbone of support. Okay, and nobody really cares. When we were at war recently, I mean, unless you have a vet in your family, nobody seems to care. Similar to taxi driving in New York City. I'm not comparing, you know, by any means, you know, what they do, but what I am comparing is the fact that there's public apathy. Nobody cares. And we've got to speak up. You've got to contact your assembly people and say, hey, you know, help the vets out. Give them information when they renew their licenses. It's the stupidest thing in the world. If you're a family of a vet, if you're a retired vet, okay, I mean, if you're a veteran, call your assembly person and say, get this bill passed in the assembly that Senator Rivera passed in the Senate. It doesn't make sense right now. Anyway, you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We're on with Senator Rivera. And before you have to leave, there is an election coming up in November. And it's very interesting because did I hear correctly who your opponent is?
Yes, I have an opponent. His name is Fernando Cabrera. He is a council member who has run against me before. 2 years ago, he ran against me and he said that he, you know, he lost badly, and he said that he was not going to do it again, and he committed to work together to make the Bronx better. And unfortunately, a few weeks ago, he broke his word, and now he's running against me again. I didn't know why. I still don't. I didn't know why he did it 2 years ago, but I get a sense that it might have something to do with a super PAC. There was a story in the Daily News just a few days ago. There is a super PAC that has almost $3 million that is going to target three assembly members and one senator, the senator being me. And he's going to be getting a lot of support from out of town, from out of the city. There's actually a Walmart heiress, so a member of the Walton family, gave $450,000 to the super PAC that is doing an independent expenditure on his behalf. So I feel very strongly that my team and myself have done a great job over the last 6 years. I've been serving the community here in the Bronx for the last 6 years. And if what he's asking me to do is to go back out, as I have been doing in the last couple of days, to my constituents and ask them for their help and their support, I'm going to do that. And I look forward to talking to them and to saying to them, I believe that I've done a good job in the last 6 years. I want to continue doing that job. Please reelect me in September. And so I'm doing that, and the results have been pretty positive up until now, but it's between now and September 13th, so I will be talking to them every day between now and then.
You know, it's amazing. People want more transparency. People want to level the playing field with how donations come in to elected officials. So the elected officials who have corporate sponsorship say, well, let's push the super PAC bill, you know. If people want to donate unlimited amounts of money, and we can donate unlimited amounts of money, we don't count. You know, I mean, in New York City, as you know, I think it's up to $175. The city, gives you X amount times that. But the point is, are there limits to what people can donate to you right now, other than from a super PAC?
Yes, I have limits. The limits are not the same as they are in the city of New York. They're in the state. I think we need a campaign finance reform bill that is comprehensive and includes public financing of campaigns. And I know that there's people like the New York Post who have a field day with this, but they're kind of hypocrites because they say at the same time that they do not want public financing of campaigns because that is using taxpayer dollars on campaigns. And also, they accuse us consistently of being quote unquote bought when they look at who gives us money. And the thing is that I don't want even the opportunity for someone to make an allegation that I am making a decision not based on what is good for my constituency or what the facts of a bill, for example, are. I would like to be able to have that not be said at all. And if we have public financing of campaigns, then there's no question. If I need to go and speak out, you know, $25 here and $50 there from people that are live in my district and have that matched as it happens in the city at a 6-to-1 basis, I would be able to do that, right? So that's, so in the state, I have some limitations, but super PACs have no limits. So they can spend limited amounts of money.
It's a little before November. Do you know when Election Day is, by the way, this year, when you're running?
Yeah, no, absolutely. September 13th is the primary date for me. That is the Democratic primary in the state of New York. Yes, sir. September 13th.
September 13th. So, if you want truth, justice, and the American way, vote for Superman, Senator Gustavo Rivera. Okay, if you're a Bronxite and you're from the Northwest Bronx, Kingsbridge Heights, Tremont, Crotona Park, Fordham, Belmont, Van Ness, Claremont, Highbridge, Morris Park, get out there. If you're a veteran and you're living in those areas in the Bronx, get out there. Okay? If you want justice on all levels of political, whether it's political, whether it has to do with driving cabs, okay, vote for Gustavo Rivera, and I hope you come on before the election. We have to go, Senator. Thanks for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir. I feel like we should sing God Bless America.
We will at the end of the show. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union, and we'll be back after these messages with your calls.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number 3 or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Gifford Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Gifford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is the leader in taxi leasing, run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Perlamb Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
Hey, taxi!
Where to, buddy?
The Taxi Dave Show.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the two-dog man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking home, home, home.
Taxi Dave Show is back. You're listening to New York City's number one talker, the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. Happy birthday to Richie Shaken Nagin. Happy birthday to Harper Grace Avestano. Okay, and hi, shout out to a new listener, Lee Melnick. How you doing, Lee? Get well to Mike Marinelli. We hope you get well soon. Our email is taxihale@aol.com. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. We were just on with Senator Rivera. New York City's bus and transit systems getting another $22 million in federal funds so they can have some security upgrades and do some training of their personnel to prevent terrorism. Now, this is on top of $54 million that was in the state budget and the governor's budget to support anti-terrorism efforts and ensure that first responders have the training and equipment they need. So now $22 million specifically for bus and subways. Okay, here's something that's interesting. Controller Scott Stringer, well, he voted against an agreement between the city of New York and a vendor, Saker Aviation. They operate tourist helicopter flights in and out of downtown Manhattan heliports. He voted against it. And his quote is, there should be no tourist helicopters at all in New York City, period. They provide little economic payback and instead bombard our communities with unrelenting noise and pollution, which is why they've been banned elsewhere in the five boroughs. So there's the controller saying, we don't make any money on it. The helicopter operators make money. There's no benefit to it. And doesn't want helicopters in New York City. Period. End of discussion. Here's an email from Frank, and who loves me, by the way. And he says, you can find out how many available yellow cabs there are immediately on Wait to Ride. That's one of the taxi apps in New York City, in my immediate area. I can show passengers that there are 30, 40, 50, or 60 yellow cabs immediately available within a half square mile in Manhattan. And then he continues to say, right now there are 60 yellow cabs available around Penn Station on Wait to Ride, and then there must be probably 80 or more cabs available if you include Arrow and Curb. So thank you for that, Frank. Appreciate it. Our email address is taxihail@AOL.com. And New York City taxi and limousine drivers, they're soon going to be required to take an anti-discrimination training course. Now, the TLC driver training is going to include a course that makes drivers more aware of the New York City Human Rights Law, which protects passengers from discrimination based on age, race, sexual orientation, or disability. Now, the current training, this quote is from TLC spokesman and an old friend, Alan Fromberg. This says, the current training does have course discussion on things like service refusal, which could occur for reasons of discrimination and bias, but this new module will be a far more competitive introduction into those issues for our licensees and prospective licensees. So there is not an official launch date for the new program, though Fromberg said it will come in the near future. Now, the city says the new anti-discrimination module is mostly a proactive measure. It follows two cases in the last 5 years where yellow cab drivers were found to have violated the human rights law. So that's interesting. And I did get an email on that, actually, in my office. And it was one sentence. Who's going to pay for the extra anti-discrimination training? That's a good point. I don't know. Is it going to be inclusive in the school training? I would guess yes. Or is it going to be something separate? Here's an email from Virgilio Carballo. Given the dire situation the yellow taxi industry finds itself in these days, I think they should follow the example of the real estate company Redfin. An article by Nick Wingfield published in the New York Times reported that 10 years ago this company hired employees with full benefits and not as private contractors and are doing very well. I'm of the opinion that the yellow taxi industry should go the same route, given the fact that Uber and other app-hailing interlopers have deep pockets and can buy all the New York politicians they want. These app companies will not hire drivers as employees, as they are strong believers of the gig economy. Thank you, Virgilio, for that email. And here's another email. The emails are coming in. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Our lines are open right now. Lately, I've noticed that black cars have more and more stickers on them, trying to authenticate themselves. But even if they put stickers on every inch of their car, they're still doing wrong when they use the e-hail to act like taxis. Thank you very much for that email. Here's something else you might be interested in knowing. New York, you know, health insurance is so important today, because if you don't have it, you know, one bad bout in the hospital, and it can ruin you financially for the rest of your life. You know, that's why health insurance is so important to have. Young people tend to feel, I don't need it, I'm healthy, until that time comes when it's like, my gosh, what do I do? But New York is expensive for health insurance. And to prove that, in 2015, New York ranked second in employer-sponsored health insurance costs. And premiums rose at more than three times the national rate in 2015. The average single coverage premium in New York State last year was $6,800. Only Alaska was more. And the United States average was $5,960. So New York is second in employer. And if you go nationwide single premium, the percentage grew 2.2% in 2015. New York's increased health insurance cost increased 7.8%. The average family premium in New York was $19,600. The national average for family for a year was $17,300. So New York is up there. It's expensive. You know? Okay, what can I tell you? Let's see. JFK Mike, he's not calling in, but let's see. When can we stop bragging about driving a cab again? I keep hearing how horrible business is. Says who? Also, we need a fare increase, at least an effective $10 per person group ride at the airports. $10 per person group ride at terminals and at concerts. Okay? And please tell a few of the losers who are running cabs to pay their surcharge money on time. Like I said, there's always a handful of bad apples that make the whole barrel seem rotten, and that's not the case. You know, we need to get rid of or fix the bad apples. That's for sure. I'm Taxi Dave. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. I didn't hear that. Noah's trying to tell me something. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. Very good. We have more emails are coming in at taxihail@AOL.com. In the meantime, let me take a caller. Jaylee, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Taxi Dave.
Hi.
It's Julie from Queens. You know what I'd like to see that would profit, I think, everybody, is to retire the carriage horses.
I'm sorry, say that again. To retire the what?
Retire the carriage horses. It's cruel to the horses, and it's dangerous to the people who drive.
Did you see them out there today? It was over 90 degrees.
Were they out there? I wasn't in the city today.
I see. Are they anywhere else in the city that you know of?
Well, they have a certain temperature cutoff, but don't you think it would the most expensive property in New York, they don't pay any taxes or rent on that carriage industry.
Isn't
don't you think it would be better to retire these horses?
You know, there have been a lot of different, we've had a lot of discussions about it on the Taxi Dave Show. Some people were saying, well, you know, maybe we can limit them in Central Park on grass routes where it doesn't hurt their hooves, they can, you know, be better taken care of there. There were others that say, hey, under no circumstances, horses weren't bred to pull people around Central Park. There are others that argue horses were bred before there were cars to carry heavy loads. And then some people say sometimes the horses are treated better than other employees of companies because the horses supposedly get vacation breaks, only work a certain amount of hours, and don't work if it's over 90 degrees. I was just wondering if you saw that. But putting the horse carriages, what would you suggest that the, what would you call them, the drivers of the horse carriages, What do you suggest they do if these go out of business?
Well, they've been offered many opportunities, even given taxi licenses and different things. Say if we replace them with something else, they could learn skills. If we had, like, antique cars or something else, less of them, less congestion. You know, when they're in the park, the doctors on the east side try to get to some of their patients on the west side, and there's so much congestion with the horses in the park, they sometimes lose some of their patients. They don't get there in time.
Wow. That's, you know, how come we don't read about those stories?
And those, Dave, you know, it's a new age. You know, we're no longer the
stories that can change a whole industry, you know, because I guarantee you if there was a cab causing traffic and somebody died because of that, the whole industry would be shown in a bad light.
That's right. And it's so smelly. You go by Birdoff's, they're selling perfume for $1,000 or $500 or $300 a bottle. And you walk across the street, you're smelling horse manure.
Be careful. All right, Julie from Queens, thanks for calling and listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I appreciate it. Before we go to a break, let me read this email. The Taxi Limousine Commission argues, compared to taxis, e-hail is a different business model, and the e-hail companies do not have to follow the same rules. Here's why they were different. Please read this again. Taxis allow riders, whether they have a credit card or not, whether they have a smartphone or not, whether they have a wheelchair or not, whether they we know them or not, safeguard our privacy. Taxis have price controls to protect riders from paying too much. Taxis also have protections in place for workers. Compared to e-hail companies, they are different, but it's because taxis have respected human rights. If taxis were not obliged to protect our human dignity, they would be identical to e-hailers. So yes, they are different, but only because of these obligations. If the price one pays for safeguarding human rights is unfair competition, then our constitutional rights are being violated. That's from Simon. Thank you for that email, I guess, again. When we come back, we'll read some more of your emails. We have open lines, 800-321-0710, and I have one recall for you this month and some other stories this week. So stay tuned to the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. We will be back. It's beautiful here on the Hudson in Haverstraw.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Gifford Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Gifford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at GiffordInsurance.com. www.HerefordInsurance.com or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is the leader in taxi leasing, run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Berlin Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
See that girl barefoot in the floor, whistling and singing, she's a carry on. Got laughing in her eyes, she's dancing in her feet, she's a neon light sign, and she lives on the street. Hey, hey, hey,
that's all the time. It was beautiful weather in New York. It was 95 degrees today. It's 85 degrees today in New York. We're broadcasting live from the Hudson Water Club in Haverstraw, New York, about 25 minutes north of Manhattan. This is the Taxi Dave Show, the number one talker in New York City on Sunday nights. You know, the Port Authority and Delta Airlines, you're going to hear about this next week at their board meeting, but the Port Authority agreed to spend up to $600 million that specifically goes towards Delta's new terminal, which is going to replace the 2 existing terminals that Delta has at LaGuardia Airport right now. Okay? But the $600 million is on top of its commitment to build a new $4 billion central building and a grand central hall uniting all the airport terminals, including Delta. Now, in exchange, Delta, which leases 2 terminals right now, as I said, from the Port Authority, they will spend $3.6 billion on their new facility. And they are guaranteed a lease at LaGuardia through 2015. So a lot of stats, through 2050. Thank you. There's a big difference there. You know, through 2050. So a lot of figures. They're going to spend $3.6 billion. They're getting $600 billion. The Port Authority is going to spend $4 billion on a central building. And this all comes after Vice President Biden was down there and Cuomo was down there and saying we need a new LaGuardia Airport. And it's happening right before your eyes. I know that the taxi lot, the central taxi holding lot, I mean, it's a mess. It's small. You know, it's difficult to get into. They really need some more room out there. They have to do something for the cab drivers out there. You know, they really do. And, you know, you have to walk to the old lot if you have to use the restroom, which is interesting. And the old lot, it doesn't seem like they're doing anything to it right now. So why don't they keep the cabs there until they're ready to do something with it? Anyway, there's a recall. If you have a, Ford 2016 Explorer or F-150, you may be interested in this. If it has a manual recliner driver seat, you know, not an electric one, but a manual one, the back seat frame may have insufficient welding, and it may not meet federal safety standards. So the back seat won't adequately restrain the occupant during a crash, and Ford's going to notify the owners. The recall is expected August 15th. Now, I broke one of those. In a Ford product, I was pushing against the floor. My back was pushing against the back of the seat. I was trying to get something out of my pocket, and the whole back fell backwards. That was a couple of years ago, so that is pretty dangerous. Those of you affected, you'll be getting notice from Ford soon. Okay, that's our recall this week. Governor Cuomo. Now, there's something called Bridge New York, and there's, for all local governments, this is important, one of the bridges in Washingtonville, where I live, has been closed. It's a state bridge. It's all, it's a connection on Route 208, and it goes over the Moodna Creek. I mean, if you sneeze while you're going over it, you're past it. It's very small, but I know something like 7,000 cars a day go over that bridge, and it's closed now. But they are fixing it, and now there's $200 million available for local governments to rehabilitate and replace bridges and culverts throughout the state. And that's part of the Department of Transportation's $21.1 billion 5-year capital plan. Now, Bridge New York provides emphasis on projects that address poor structural conditions. That's Bridge New York. So if you folks are, you know, I get sometimes calls from trustees from small villages, mayors of towns. Governor Cuomo said, by helping local governments make investments to ensure the safety and reliability of the bridges, the Bridge New York program will literally strengthen our communities and bolster their viability. Now, the $200 million Bridge New York funding, it's available, again, to all municipalities who are authorized to receive and administer state transportation funding. And the evaluations to get that money, it's going to be based on the current bridge structural conditions, the resiliency of the structure, and the significance and importance of the bridge based on traffic volumes, detour considerations, and the number and types of businesses that are served that will be impacted. Okay? You can get your applications for Bridge New York on the dot.ny.gov/Bridge New York. That's dot.ny.gov/Bridge New York. If you are in a small village or town and you know that there's a structural problem with one of your culverts or bridges, take advantage of this, folks. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars floating around out there, and we need them. We need the money. Now, last week, we talked about the audio being stopped on the light rail system in New Jersey. And this week, Metro North just begun testing cameras on just a small number of Harlem Line and Hudson Line trains. And in fact, from the Hudson Water Club right now, across the river, I can see a Hudson Line train going north. So, there's that. And they're not only going to monitor the passenger compartments, but they're going to monitor the activity in the engineer's control room, okay, and also the track. And if you recall, that engineer fell asleep because he had sleep apnea, and he ended up killing passengers on a curve that was supposed to be 15 miles an hour. He was doing about 70 miles an hour by spite and dival, okay? And just to let you know, the new passenger cameras on the Hudson and Harlem lines that they're going to be starting do not have audio control, audio. There will be no recording of audio. Okay, I think everybody learned their lesson. So tomorrow at the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, there is a hearing to confirm the rules about the universal license. I'm going to speak in favor of that. I think it's a great thing on a number of levels, and I'll talk about that tomorrow. And then someone else sent me an email that they added voting on the fatigue, on driver's fatigue rules tomorrow. I'm going to have to look at that. And a lot of people in the industry they felt it wasn't in their best interest. Yet there were a lot of agencies and there were some drivers who were in favor of it. So it should be an interesting meeting tomorrow morning at Beaver Street, 33 Beaver Street on the 19th floor at 10 a.m. Okay? I do want to thank Senator Gustavo Rivera for coming on the show and sharing some important information with us. Don't forget, all you vets, not only vote for him if you're in the Bronx, but speak to your assembly people. You know, vets are coming home all the time and need help and don't know where to reach. They just don't know where to reach out to. Okay? And the families of vets, please, you know, you want to help your relative who just came back, call your assembly members and tell them there's a bill that passed the Senate. The assembly should pass the same bill. It's stupid not to. All they're going to do is give information to vets when they renew their driver's license. It doesn't make any sense. So thank you for the emails from all you listeners. Thank you for your callers. This is the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. We are the number one talker in New York City. Don't forget to log on to see my newspaper, Taxi Insider, at nyctaxinews.com. I got to go now.
Hey, get me out of the Hudson and back into New York City, man.
Wherever you go.
This has been a podcast from WOR.